Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bijou Podcasts.
You're listening to episode 93 of The Stacey June Show. Today is a guest chat, and I am so excited to welcome Lola Berry to the show. Hi guys, Stace here, the host of The Stacey June Show. Thank you for joining me. It is Thursday and I'm excited to share with you a chat that I had with a beautiful soul by the name of Lola Berry a few weeks ago. I'm wondering if you can hear the background music in my house at the moment. I'm recording this intro on a Sunday and we are smashing Jesus is King, Kanye's new album. I just didn't want to turn it down. Ben was enjoying it too much in the other room making brekkie and we're having a dance to it. I'm not sure what you guys think, but I'm so into this Sunday service stuff that he's doing. Obsessed. We have our version of kind of a baby shower today. We're having two. Yes, we are those people. I didn't even think I would have a baby shower. But sure enough, we are having a Sydney and Melbourne one because our life is split between the two. And I'm feeling good. I don't know about you guys, but anytime there is some form of event, it's so ironic considering my work, considering the fact that I've done radio for 10 years and I don't think I necessarily see that job as being the center of attention, but it's certainly a lot of people listening to my voice at a time when I tell a story. But then when it comes to like events or something where you're celebrated or with the people that, you know, are close to you, I get a bit nervy, like your birthday, all those kinds of things. I love it and I love gathering and they're really special and sacred, and I think celebrating and marking momentous occasions is important. I realized that once we really broke down why we wanted to get married and then choosing to elope, it was important for us to still mark milestones in a celebration way that didn't necessarily have to look like the standard way, but it was still important to do it. So we didn't go too extreme where we completely just don't celebrate at all. We try and find our own groove. So I think that's really important, but it's still, I don't know, there's still something in me that gets a bit of nervous energy when, you know, you're not sure who's getting, it's just like high school. You're not sure who's turning up. You don't know what time everyone's going to get there. Is it, you know, it's just a bizarre, lead up for the couple of hours before, but I am really looking forward to it. I hope you guys have had a great week. I just wanted to give you a heads up that next week we'll have only a couple of episodes because we are going away for a little bit of a baby moon, which will be really exciting. We're off to one of the islands of Queensland and it'll be our first tropical holiday together. We didn't do a honeymoon. We've barely been on holidays. The big holiday we went on last, this is Ben and I, my husband and I, was to get married in New York. So we're still learning a lot about each other and still experiencing firsts, which is amazing. And so we're really, really excited for that. So next week, the podcast will be a little less, but there'll still be some shows dropping, just not as many as we usually do. My beautiful guest, Lola Berry, is an Aussie nutritionist. If you haven't come across her before, I'm sure you have. You can follow her at Yummo Lola Berry on Instagram. She is also a yoga teacher. She is an entrepreneur and has many different little businesses. When I say little, I don't use the word as in the capacity or the scope of those businesses, but she's got lots of projects on the go. She's just launched a brand new project with her boyfriend called Lola Coffee, which is a very lovely speciality instant coffee. And she also has juice bars and so many books. She's an author and has written a gazillion books. I've actually been able to be lucky enough to get some advice from her about starting or writing my first book. But Lola is so great because she's just so what you see is what you get. And I don't know. I know that I try and choose these people to talk to on my show, and generally there is a real, I guess, collective energy with the guests that I have on my show. But Lola in particular is in the public eye, and it is that little bit extra difficult to be as transparent and as herself as she is. And so she, I think, works really hard at that behind the scenes. She talks a lot about her relationship with therapy. She mentions her therapist on the reg, which I love. He sounds like an absolute legend. She talks about falling in love and the navigation of that. She talks about her career and how she makes business decisions. I also really open her up about just kind of money and the way that she negotiates and navigates different businesses as an entrepreneur too. So I think the great thing about Lola, like I said, is that she does share and she's a learner. She's a transformer. She is constantly evolving, and I really, really, I really meet her in that energy. I really see her, and I really feel like there's lots that we have in common from that end, that it is a constant evolution that we live through, and she really shares the tools and the ways that she goes deeper within to continue to grow in herself and continue to learn in herself. And I think you're really going to love this chat. I love sitting down with her. I sat down with her and talked to her on her show, which I'm sure she'll drop over the next little bit of time, and I will share that with you in good time. But today, she is my guest on the Stacey June Show, and I hope you enjoy. If you're hearing this episode from listening through Lola and you haven't listened to the show before, welcome. I am a radio announcer, a broadcaster, a podcaster, obviously, almost an author, writing my first book at the moment. We do three different shows on this show a week. Today is a guest show. Sunday is a bit of self-reflection and a thought, or I guess a feeling and an analysis of what the week has involved for me, and something that I hope can help you dig deeper into your own self and your own self-inquiry. And then Tuesday is for the single Pringles of the world, where we try and nourish and celebrate our single selves on this show. And it is just different tips for you to navigate and really flourish in being on your own, as opposed to wishing that time away. So have a bit of a flick through if you haven't listened to any of the shows before. I'm so glad that you're here. And if you are a Stacey June listener and you are being introduced to Lola, or you love the show, make sure you tell her that you heard her here and go say hello, give her a follow on Insta, and let her know what you loved listening to in particular. All right, guys, I really hope you enjoy this chat. This is Lola Berry. Hello, Lola Berry.
Hello.
I feel like I'm always, I don't know, there's something about your energy that makes me feel a bit giggly, like I'm a bit of a younger version of myself. Like, I don't know what it is. It's like the little girl, like we're having a play date or something.
Yeah, man, always. And I think because we know each other, it feels comfy, like it's like coming home. It's really natural and comfy.
Yeah, and but I think even when you know people, especially around the way we've met through work and stuff, I still don't think that there's always that homey kind of giggle vibe. I think that's about who you are more than it is about us knowing each other. So I think it's actually a testament to you.
Oh, I'll take that. Thank you. That's very kind.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, and I think it's probably a bit of me too. Like, I think our personalities are quite open like that. So straight away there's no bullshit, you know?
Totally, mate. Who's got time for bullshit?
Not us. I want to talk to you about all of your business stuff, because that's something that has just been, I don't know, you just seem to unravel and showcase another layer of yourself from a business perspective, which I've always been so impressed by. You've just launched Lola Coffee and you've just started your podcast. And I wanted to talk to you about some of the realities behind that and how you've gone about teaching yourself. And I'm specifically wanting to hone in to money and finance and contracts and all of those bits that I guess lots of people don't discuss. How are you with that side of stuff, and how have you had to learn and kind of adapt as you've grown your business?
Brilliant question. I am very lucky. I have a wonderful manager, Lauren and Rach, and they really do step in when the, you know, when deals get done, and they have a really solid foundation as far as rate cards. So they don't, like, often they'll often go, Lola, we're saying no to this because it's literally an eighth of what your rate is worth. So they're really great at kind of stepping in and going, no. And I say no to more things than I say yes to because of, you know, little things that are like, here, we'll give you $500 for an Insta post or something like that. I'm like, no, I'd rather longevity. I'd rather to work with a company on a long term.
Have you always been like that, or did you have to build to a point?
No, I've been very comfy saying no since the get-go, but I've also been with Harry M, that's the agency, forever, like probably coming on eight years now. So we've got to know what my non-negotiables are. Like, I'm gluten-free, so they never get me to sign on with a company that sells Wheat Bix or something purely because I don't eat it. So what's the point? They're really good at going, all right, well, we've got to walk the talk here. But also as far as finance goes, like, I'll be very honest with you, there is time between work gigs where there's no money coming in. You do live more like an actor where you get paid a lot of money for one gig and then you don't get work for 2 months. And that's where, in those times, I teach quite a lot of yoga, and I just am quite smart in those scenarios where I'm like, I know there's no money coming in for 2 months or nothing substantial financially. I'll just up my yoga teaching, and that's where it's been a great skill set to have.
So, yeah, back to that, because you started off in performance and acting and kind of built all of your parts of your career from that forefront. So you were, I suppose, in the headspace that financial stream was always going to be a bit on, off, on, off, on, off. But did you have a moment where you realized, fuck, I'm going to need a few other skill sets here to be able to make this work?
Gee, you're good with the questions. So as soon as I moved to Sydney, I got a pretty – so I lived in Sydney for 6 years, and I just qualified my first yoga teaching course, and I was like, holy smokes, living in Sydney is so expensive. And I was teaching 28 classes a week, which in yoga speak is a bit full on. Like, a full-time yoga teacher will teach about 10 classes a week. So I was like, well.
And how much on average, maybe not your, sorry to interrupt, but how much on average would a beginning yoga teacher earn, like, for one class?
Oh, not much. It's like $70 a pop.
Yeah.
And you have to be there half an hour before and half an hour after.
Yeah.
Teach an hour class. So, like, to make it financially viable, you want to teach a shitload. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but you want to teach a fair bit. So, when I moved to Sydney, I obviously didn't have any work. I just signed with that agency, and I was like, shit, how am I going to put food on the table? And that's when I was just like, screw it. And I just taught so much yoga, too much. Like, I fell out of love with yoga very quickly. But I knew, I've known from the get-go, like, even when before I moved to Sydney, I was working in morning television. I'd do my weekly segment that'd pay $500 a pop. And then I was like, shit, I need to make money to pay rent, pay for my petrol in my car. So I worked at a smoothie bar, and my friend had a cleaning company, and I cleaned toilets. So I've never really given too much of a shit about where or what I need to do. I'm not precious at all about that. Like, I love going into yoga studios and teaching yoga because I'm like, this is a cool gift that I get to share with people. But I also know that when work gets really busy, say a book comes out and you're on a media tour or something like that, I know I won't be teaching yoga for a few months, and I'm fine with that. I just think it's something that ebbs and flows.
And have you always been really comfortable with the non-traditional career? Because I think even I'm in the same boat as you, but at the same time, for a long time I had a fairly stable's a rich word in radio, but I mean, you know, a fairly consistent kind of job where I knew I was going somewhere every single day. And then I've had different jobs before. I've had to kind of go in and out, but when I lost that and then began my own business again as a full-time thing, it still is confronting when you are kind of constantly having this inner dialogue of comparison to the 9-to-5 thing, because it's where it's just completely surrounding you. Have you always been pretty comfortable with that, or have you had your own moments?
To be honest, the stuff that makes me uncomfortable is the 9-to-5. That gives me massive anxiety. So the thought of being locked in, so I've never had 9-to-5. When I finished school, I went straight into a Bachelor of Performing Arts. So I knew pretty early on I wanted to be the next Cate Blanchett. That was a goal. So I've never, ever had a 9-to-5, ever. And I've never, I've been completely okay with not having a 9-to-5 and completely okay with having peaks and troughs with my financial income. It doesn't bother me at all, because I have this really weird sense of, and not in an egoic way, but like a sense of self-belief. I'm like, I know that I will work hard enough to get to where I want to go. Like, I know that within myself.
And this abundance that money kind of comes in ebbs and flows too, which it does for everybody, even if you're in the 9-to-5, which is interesting.
Totally. I mean, there's this beautiful yoga word called equanimity, and it means to be like calm within the ebbs and flows of life.
Yeah, that would be a big challenge for everybody. I think often transition definitely brings up the fact that there's some, you know, there's some unfinished business in terms of, ideas around that, of comfort in that, because there's just so much control in what that 9-to-5 offers, you know. So then actually if you take it away, it's so much more about where you're at in your own person rather than actually it being about a 9-to-5 or an external kind of factor like a job. You know, it's quite interesting at the kind of characters that I think end up doing that, because you do need to be pretty match fit from your own self-worth and your own, I guess, self-care process, which I want to move into that actually, because as everybody knows, you're definitely a spiritual being. You are certainly a person that is an advocate for nourishing your body and healing traumas and working on yourself. What does a day look like in terms of a super intense, turned up spiritual day versus a day that you may not even, you know, you may not meditate or you may not do anything of that? I just want to kind of paint a picture, because I like talking about how that version of spirituality and self-care really varies for people, but then also varies in their own lives too.
Absolutely. So first of all, I definitely don't live a spiritual lifestyle every single day. I have shit days. I have days where I'm exhausted. I can guarantee when I'm writing a manuscript, I'm the most unhealthy version of myself. I'll stay up late writing, because you get this really creative spur in the middle of the night and really late at night. I'll eat all the sugar. I famously say, I'm like, I put on 5 kilos with every book that I write. It's funny because I started a new manuscript today, this morning, and I'm like, oh God, here we go. We're back on the roller coaster. But a really good day for me, and there's a lot of them now. I think my boyfriend's brought so much balance to my life, because he's super zen and I'm like, I'm fire. Like, I'm like, didn't get enough done today. Feel like shit. I'm that. Like, I'm so yang and he's so yin. So he'll be like, calm the F down, Lola. Like, whew, take a moment. So now I'm much more comfortable with like tuning into my intuition. We meditate together. So he's really into this type of meditation called mindful self-compassion. Mm-hmm. So it's like tapping into, if you feel shit in any part of your body or in any part of your emotional state, and it's being okay with that feeling as opposed to fighting it. But a really good day for me would be get up, do yogas, meditate. I really enjoy meditating after my yoga practice, staying in the yoga class and practicing my back bends, because that's like my passion in the yoga world. And then, you know, I love like my coffee. So coffee is absolutely still something that's in on a super spiritual day. And just like going to the market, getting salmon, like making really mindful food and being in the moment. I mean, that's, and like I've got all my crystals around and like I've got like ayahuasca incense, stuff like that. Like, yes, I absolutely have those days where I'm burning all that kind of stuff and working on my goal books and my manifestation books and reading and whatnot. But I also don't have those days. Like, I've just come out of a really intense 5-week yoga teacher training that was really, really challenging. And as soon as like my boyfriend could see how burnout I was getting, he's like, we need to get away. So next week we're going to Torquay for like I think only like 4 or 5 days, but that will be spiritual. We'll do yoga. We'll get out to nature, biophilia, healing power, Mother Nature. We'll just be super mindful. We'll meditate every morning, and all our meals will create, you know. And I've, you know, booked a little juice cleanse as well. Like, they're things that I do for myself to really like give back to myself.
And did that develop over time? You know, because I think a lot of people that listen to my show or the show that I've created and tried to create this year has been opening up doors for people to access those early stages of these kinds of processes for themselves. So was it a bit of trial and error of what worked for you that has you landing on all of those things, or were you someone that, because you were doing yoga early, you were always in that world?
I think it's a bit of both. Like, it's a little column A, little column B. Yes, some of it is trial and error. Like, I can't stand going upside down at yoga. So any kind of inversion, like handstand, headstand, I'm petrified. I can't get up. I can't do it. Like, I've done so much advanced training now and I still can't do it. Like, I will cry if I feel like I'm going to slam my face on the ground. And
yeah, so, fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. But like everybody else in the course can. And so it's also finding out within that space what works for you and what doesn't. Yet I can do a really deep back bend that most people are petrified of doing. So it's, I've just found the things that work for me, but I still find things within the yoga world that absolutely don't work for me. I'm pretty okay with that. Like, back 5 years ago, I would have been like, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. Whereas now I'm like, yep, doesn't work for me, and that's okay. I'm going to find what does work for me. So, yes, finding yoga at 23, so that's 10 years ago, you know, finding yoga at that young age has probably been helpful, and it's so good for spinal health, and I'm really all about looking after your spine. I think healthy spine, healthy life. So, yes, it is. Yes and no. Like, I've totally like been the other side, and like my history is eating disorders and binge eating. So I've been the polar opposite, where I haven't been able to give back to myself and I haven't been able to switch off.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people that, you know, it seems like a nice place where the self-care yoga, this world is becoming a little bit more immersed. It's not so much you're a yogi and you stand over there as some hippie and I stand over here judging you. I think there's so many people in classes now that are not your traditional yogis, and people are finding a little bit more confidence in taking the bits that they like and leaving the bits that they don't.
Oh, that's the only way to do it in life as well, on and off the yoga mat. Like, also, you know, when you meet an idiot, you know, you can feel it. And I think as you get older, like, I turned 34 like 3 days ago. As you get older, you're like, oh, your energy feels shit. See ya. Like, and very, 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 I'm very comfortable. Like, and I've seen it within myself. Like, I'll just smile at people and hold a bit of space if they're being a dingo. And then I'll just be like, I won't be talking to you again. Like, but I mean, some people are dickheads. Yeah, like, I got my, I've only released 2 podcasts, and someone wrote, the feedback was, I want to chop my, they gave me 1 star and they wrote, I want to chop my ears off. She says, like, too much. And I'm like, well, no worries, mate. Like, I totally know I'm not for everybody, but you don't need to be an absolute dingo and like publicly write that. You know, some people are just mean. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's just idiots.
I think those people give me so much humour. Like, I really find them almost comical characters. Like, I can't possibly take anyone seriously because I don't know people that don't say the word like. Or it's just so – it just is a very funny thing to think of that person walking around the world as a perfect person, because it's not possible. So it's just it all kind of ends up being a bit of a – like a Ricky Gervais kind of – you're kind of a bit out of it and watch those types of characters just work through the world.
Totally.
And if you can't laugh, you couldn't possibly do it. But just moving into that a little bit about your ability to kind of follow your gut when it comes to people's energy. And I've spoken to you about this in the past, of really having an unashamedly kind of commitment to yourself when it comes to cutting people, toxic people. Is that still something that you find, you know, you're still very focused on, not focused on, but you know what I mean? You happen to be a person that is comfortable doing it. Or are there moments where it still offers its challenges depending on who it is? Because I think one of the biggest things that still comes up on what people want to talk about with the kind of content I do is friendship breakups. It's just an absolute, just a huge, huge issue for so many people. So I wanted to know if you have found that any easier over time.
So yes, and that's because I have a great therapist. So my therapist, Terry, he says to me, Lola, where's your fuck it line? You need a fuck it line in the sand. And this person keeps crossing this line. And he's like, they're not your friend. Like, that's not something a friend would do. And so for ages I'd kind of resent people and be like, well, fuck, you weren't even like, and I'd be like, oh, this person's such a dick. Like, I thought they were my friend. They're treating me X, Y, and Z ways. And now I've come to this phase where I'm like, they don't even know that they've fucked up. Like, they've got no concept of it. So now I've done a full circle where I'm so nice to the people that I've cut, right? But they wouldn't even know I've cut them because they're so indulged, like, in their own world. Mm. And every time I see them, I'm just like, hey, how are ya? Like, and I'm so nice and I don't feel bad. I don't feel guilty either. I'm like very much like they know nothing about my life. Like, they don't know the ins and outs. That what they know is what they see on Insta stories. And
yeah, I hate that.
But that's okay. Like, that, but so usually I would be like, cut, see ya. I never want to see you again. That's like, I'm a Virgo's are notorious for doing that. But now I'm like, they're just doing the best they can. And absolutely, they are a dick to me and they're flaky and they're never there for me. And that's okay. But I don't need them to be in my heart. They can just be someone that's on my periphery that I'm going to always be nice to, but I'm never going to go out of my way to share my heart with them. And so for me, that's been so empowering because it's not like cut, boom, you're done. Energetically it is, like in the heart space, totally. Like, I'll be like, oh, that person won't come into my heart again. But I'm always now so kind, like Selena Gomez, kill them with kindness. She's my hashtag for how to deal with dingoes.
And so what is there any way, is it more energy based or more kind of circumstantial when you come to that fuck it line, or are there particular traits that you know just don't work for you?
Yeah, so something normally I'll notice something that doesn't fly with me. I'll be like, oh, that didn't fly, and then I'll notice it, and then at the point that it upsets me is usually when I'll then bring it up with my therapist and be like, oh, fuck, this happened for the fifth time. And he'll be like, right, so do you want friends like this in your life? And I'm like, no. And he's like, do you think they really are going to support you when you're facing a challenge in your career or going through something? And I'm like, no, they won't be there. And he's like, great, as long as you know that and know that they're not there for you and they like you broken. And that's one thing I learned, like a lot of people need you to be broken. And like you broken.
Yeah, I found that.
Yeah.
I found that too, which is really interesting because I think, yes, that's what I was about to say, because I'm so vulnerable. I'm so happy to be vulnerable and not always happy about it, but I do share, and I think it's really important that we share about our vulnerabilities. But I think I look like I could also be a target. Well, not a target, but it's like, oh, you make me feel comfortable because you're showing all of this. And then the second you start to get cheery or, you know, like things turn, make like there's a new leaf that's turned, whoa, they're out of here.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And I found that with because I told I was just so open about my single life for such a long time. And then I found that really interesting when I met Ben, how people – because I kind of thought for a while, shit, have I done this whole bro code, girl code thing? Like, which I didn't really give a shit about because, I don't know, I was in love and it was just a great time for me. But I did realize a shift and I was like, wow. And it wasn't actually about Ben at all. It was a shift in my energy was actually confronting to those kinds of people, which was, wow, what a lesson. And what a great way to have good things come into your life to be able to also clean out the bad. It does give you a little bit of confidence. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you do hang on to people, not hang on, but you're probably not even aware that you're hanging on to them. It's just more that they're there for a time. And then other things come, you kind of do a bit of a spring clean and you're like, oh shit, okay. Yeah, this isn't working for me anymore.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So let's talk about your mans. So you know when you follow someone on Instagram, obviously, and as I said, when I hated it, I hate that even sometimes my parents will call me because I still live interstate and they'll be like, oh, were you at the beach, you know, today? And I was like, no, it's not real. It's not completely real. Like I worked on something a couple of weeks ago and it was at the beach. And it's still very hard for me because as much as my content is authentic and it is me, it's still a form of something. You know what I mean? There's still a buffer to real life versus social media, no matter which way you look at it and no matter how honest and open you are. But on social media, granted that that's the way that I see how your life is unfolding because we live in different states. And so I started to sense that you had met someone and I was like, there is something about this chick. And so then sure enough, he pops. And I feel like he popped up in a really similar way to the way Ben did, my partner, because I don't know, I think a lot of people imagine who people like us would end up with. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it's particularly what kind of man. Yeah. And so when we started to discover the, you know, your partner, Matt, what do you call him? Bosso. When we started to see who he was, there's almost like this relief when I see men like him and very much like Ben, just this kind of conscious, loving, masculine strength that comes out in such a different way. Were you aware that you were looking for that, or did Matt kind of present who he was to you and you fell for him without necessarily having a type or a vision?
Oh, okay. So first up, we met on Bumble. So we were each other's first Bumble dates. So we'd both never
ever.
I'd done a couple in LA, but never in Australia. I'd never met up with anyone.
Yeah, right.
And I stood him up on his first date, not stood him up but cancelled, you know, like cancelled like an hour or a couple of hours before. Second date, second date, he said, I just left, like I'd done a hyperbaric chamber, which was like oxygen therapy, and I'd done a sauna and I was dishevelled and I was sweating. He's like, come meet me for a wine. And I was like, oh, and I was like a bit high on the infrared sauna. I was like, yeah, okay. And then I flipped out. Anxiety attack. I was like, I got dressed, I got undressed, I got into my pajamas, I got back. Like, it was a 3-hour debacle. And he was there with friends, so he wasn't like waiting alone.
Waiting.
Yeah, yeah. He was with mates. Yeah, yeah. Like, I was walking into the lion's den. He was there. He's a DJ. He's with all these other DJs. Oh, two other DJs, and they were DJing at a big nightclub in Melbourne that night. So, like, it was all the cool cats. I was walking into a full lion's den. And so I kept oscillating. I was like, no, I'm not going to come. Maybe I will. And he just wrote, I can tell you've got anxiety. Our safe word is pineapples. If you say pineapples, I will put you straight back in an Uber. And at that moment, I was like, okay, but I.
Oh my God, my whole body just went into goosebumps. Yeah. What a relief to be caught like that. Yeah. Like, that's like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, straight after that, I said, what if you're not nice? And he wrote, what if you're not nice, Lola? And that was kind of, as soon as that kind of happened, I remember I walked in. He was in this like beautiful wine bar, sitting at the back, and there's like beautiful leather couches with these two like very big DJs in Melbourne, which I didn't know at the time. And I remember I sat down next to him and I got this feeling. I was like, oh, I can be myself. That was the first feeling I got. And I was completely anxious. I was in a situation where I was really stressed out on other things going on in my life at the time, and I was just like not a happy camper. And he could feel, he was like, I could feel your anxiety straight away. And, yeah, and we just talked all night, had fun. He dropped me home, like didn't pash, nothing, dropped me home, said goodbye, and then just started messaging like straight after, kind of thing. And then we went on our, you know, a beach date like a week later, and that was the start of us dating. But yeah, as far as like, he wasn't who I thought. Like, Matt is like this Italian, like, oh my God, like, not my. I've always been like, I'm going to be with a surfer that looks like Matt Corby, you know. The real troubled.
He picks up a guitar. Yeah, he can do this.
Yeah.
So he'll go camping for 17 days and I won't even know where he is.
Yeah.
Like, but it's super cute.
So Matt wasn't one I expected. No, not at all. But as far as like what I loved was on our second date, and I dated somebody else, I don't know, like 3 months prior, who I really liked. Real troubled, like we were just talking about, that full broken, troubled soul. Mm. But I really liked him. Like, I was just like, oh God, I'm falling for you. But I was falling for like his facade, and I was falling for his brokenness. Totally. Like, he was really broken. Like, total functional alcoholic. Didn't figure that out for a few dates. And I remember I said to him, I spoke to my therapist, Terry, and I was like, fuck, I really like, this is before I've met Matt, this is someone else. And I go, I really like this guy. I can tell he really likes me, but X, Y, and Z has happened. And he was just a total douche, total narcissist. And Terry, my psychologist, said, you need to tell him you see me. And I go, what? And he goes, tell him you've got a therapist. And I met up with him the next day. And I was like, hey, I want you to know I have a therapist. And I just watched his face change, totally judged me. And
really?
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. And I'm sitting there, and as I watched his face, I was like, I'm never, and it's this, that energetic cut thing that we were talking about. I was like, I'm never going to see you again. In my mind, I was just like, right, yeah, I'll never see you again. And I remember being mortified after, because I, like, we, you know, had a really nice goodbye, but I knew it was goodbye. Like, I knew I'm not never, ever going. And he still tried, like, fuck, they always do, you know, especially the dickheads. He still tried, and I just was, like, fully cut and always nice, but, like, see you later. Anyway, fast forward second date with Matt. So our proper date, I was like, hey, I was like, I'm going to get this shit out of the way early. I was like, I need you to know, I would like you to know that I have a therapist. And Matt's response was, I find that so attractive. So there's the difference in the men, in the man that they were. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. And everybody used to say to me when I was on air at Kiss, how are you, like, that's a fucking lie. I used to say to myself, how am I really ever going to meet someone that's happy for me to share all this stuff? Because this is now my life.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're in it, you kind of can't believe that how you can actually just change it. But then I met Ben and he just couldn't give a fuck. Not only did he, like, say it, he didn't say anything like Matt where he was like, yeah, that's even more attractive. He just didn't give a shit. My work was just not at all what he was there for. And it was, it's so interesting when not only do they meet you, but then they surprise you on top of that, you know, and that's when you know, I think you're on the right path.
Totally.
Because often I think when we date for a long time, we have all of these, I guess, these ideas of how everything's going to work out, because there is so much mystery to it. And, you know, and if you are looking for someone, or you are looking for a partner, or you are looking for a connection of whatever way that looks on the outside, you do try and, I guess, predict what it will be. And then when you actually meet someone and they surprise you, so it gets to a point where you kind of can't even predict it, I reckon that's a pretty cool sign. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Like, when you start to have people, like how he's Italian and all these kinds of things, the level of surprise is just something, particularly for, I reckon, chicks like us that are pretty fairly dominant and go for things that we want. And it takes a bit to surprise me. I don't know about you, but I kind of run the show a bit. So when you meet someone and that surprise ends up softening you in a way that is pretty epic and I think deserving.
Would you also say, not to turn the interview on you here, but this is one thing I've noticed as well, like I feel like even though I'm super yang and alpha female, all that, all what you just described then, I think that as a result of Matt's heart and softness and gentleness, I am better at my work. I am better at my business and I'm clearer and I'm more focused and I am so much better at seeing the overall bigger picture than getting caught up in the little like fiery shit that won't matter in fucking 2 weeks' time.
I mean, I changed my entire career.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
You know, I became very much aware of what was working for me and what wasn't, but what was working for me as a human first.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Totally. And so then that allowed me to make softer, better strategic decisions that where my anxiety just it just went away.
Yeah.
Like crazy. Because I don't know, yeah, I agree with you. There was this this power coming from a different source. Yeah.
And that's
sustainable. It wasn't coming from a bravado career ambition source. It started to come from a, okay, and not everything on the outside looked that different. I still do a podcast. I still am myself. You know what I mean? Like there's still lots of parts of what I do that doesn't look that crazily different. I'm a broadcaster, whatever. But from where I stand from, and I don't know if this is what you're kind of alluding to, but where you stood from and where it came from. Like if you're a Care Bear, like you imagining it coming from a different part of your body, like whoosh, all the magic.
Totally.
And it came out. It was coming out from like my sacrum, like proper. I just really made sure that everything I did was from there, and anything that wasn't coming from there anymore, I changed.
Mm.
So, yeah. I don't think he would be aware that he had that much to do with it. But I think it's who you become when you – find love like that too.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like it's a bit of a combo.
It brings like when you talk about the Care Bear thing, it brings like a sense of knowing, like actually knowing who you are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yeah, because they see you for who you are. You don't have to be anybody else, and then that's okay, and that's affirmed.
Totally.
Like there's something really beautiful about having that affirmed. So how did you guys fall in love? Was it like this kind of quick thing? Was it a slower thing? Did you find, I guess, the vulnerability part of it or the kind of breaking down walls difficult? Like tell me about that process for you. I'm really intrigued.
Well, I'm super whimsical with love, so I just followed it. Like I wholeheartedly was like, well, I'd rather throw my whole heart in, experience something epic and have it broken than go in protect guarded. So I threw my whole self in and I said to him, we were kissing in my car. We'd just been on a date and he was kissing me. He loved doing this thing where he'd put his hand on your heart. He's so like soppy. I love it. And I said, what are you thinking? And he's like, well, if I jump now, kind of thing, he's like, I'm in. And I'm like, jump. Like, I'm just like, just jump, mate. And he looked at me and I go, tell me what you know, and he goes, I'm fucked. And he's like, I'm with you. I'm done. Like, I'm done kind of thing. So that was really nice. That was like, as soon as he did that, it was just like, just this beautiful, like unraveling of a journey, basically.
Wow. I love hearing this stuff.
I've never talked about it before. So you're the first.
Yeah, right. Well, I just think there's something and talk to me about being with a man that offers that kind of that love, which is really different to the average Aussie bloke. It really is. And as much as we can say that there's woke blokes out there and, you know, lots of guys that practice fucking yoga and do all this stuff and whatever, you know, Matt's a real deal. Like even how he messages you and stands to that night on the Bumble chat, you know, you don't, as a person that was single for a very long time, they don't come by all the time, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that and his kind of presence and I suppose, do you have this sense, because I know I have this with Ben, I feel very lucky, but I feel like I also did the work on myself to have that attraction met at a mutual place, you know what I mean? Like, how do you kind of correlate it? Because I do feel like there's a point of difference to your relationship. I'm going to say it. It is. It's different. And it's, I don't want to say it's more special than the average Joe, but I think these kinds of guys are the guys that we need to make the world a better place
totally.
A bit.
First of all, full disclaimer, a lot of guys that go to yoga are dickheads. Just so people, girls that are listening to this are like, I'm going to go to yoga and meet them. Meet the man of my life. Not always, even though Matt's a massive yogi, we did not meet in a yoga room. But I think you're right. Like I think your Bens, your Matts, like people that – these are just men that are in touch with their feelings, like, and they're emotionally intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, like, just completely clear with who they are and what they care about. I don't know what Ben's career is, but Matt is a music producer. So he's very creative.
Yeah, he's creative. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is Ben creative? What does Ben do?
He works at the ABC. Yeah, so he, he's a creative director there.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, so they've got part of their brain and heart that is a bit different. I remember after my, probably second or third date with Matt, I said to my therapist, I was like, oh, my God, I've never dated a creative before. And I've dated one. My first love was also a music producer and DJ, and no one's kind of ever come close to him. That first one, I was like, no one has come close the way that he used to write me love notes and stuff like that. And I thought, I just put down to first love. I was like, well, first love, you can't beat it. You know, like it's your first kind of everything. And then I said to my therapist, I was like, oh, my God, I need to be with a creative. And he said, how long has it taken you to figure this one out, Lola? And I'm like, too long. So I would put it down to dating a creative, although like creatives also though, although they've got this beautiful heart, they also, that's where darkness lies too, like the love and the darkness, it's the yin and the yang. And Matt has a therapist and he's worked so hard on himself, and he suffers from anxiety. So he's worked so hard on, you know, dealing with what that comes from and where that comes from and facing fear. And like, I need to remember our upbringings are polar opposite. Like my parents were divorced before I went into prep. Matt's from an Italian family. All his sisters live really close to the family. You know, like it's this really homebody, and the family is like so close, and it's very beautiful, and it's very caring and all heart. And probably one of the reasons why his heart is so beautiful. But it's completely different to me. Like it's my parents are like, yeah, go live your dream. No worries. You know, like it's and I love that. I love that me and my brother have grown up with so much freedom to do that. And we're both very high achieving individuals, like both A types, very high achieving. But Dad set up his own business. The year that I was born, he was building a vet clinic. So his a little go-getter mom, like, does not stop, same ball game. So it's, I think there are so many facets. I actually think the difference is a man that works on himself. I think that's the key integral and that point that we came back, that we mentioned, and knowing he knows who he is, he knows what his strengths are, he knows what his weaknesses are, he's very clear with it. And he knows, he even said to me, he says, like, I know you better than you know yourself. And I'm like, hold on, son. And then I like calm down a bit and I was like, yeah, you're right, you probably do. So it's a sense of knowing and it's a sense of willing to do the work on the elements of yourself that need the work, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that means that on the not on the outside, but that's different types of men. It really doesn't have to be one kind of man.
Totally.
But I think if you are willing to work on yourself, it does change the game. In terms of that that masculine feminine energy, how do you guys have you ever thought about that in your relationship? You know how everybody's got a feminine masculine energy within them. Has that always balanced really easily? Because I think even sometimes I can be, you know, especially when I was on air and I would come home, I was super in masculine. I had to kind of meditate for a second and just get back into my space, which was lovely to do. And then when that was gone, it just kind of threw out the pattern for us a bit. And Ben's a super big empath.
Yeah.
So at times it's, you know, he goes really deep into my feelings when I actually need him to stand, you know, strong. And we go through these different kinds of things because we're both so in tune with ourselves, but that masculine and feminine energy is generally fairly pretty balanced within us, or at least it can be a bit out of whack. But when it's out of whack with the other person, with what you need, it can be a bit of a, it's interesting. I don't know if you found anything around that or you've even thought about that kind of concept
absolutely
within your relationship.
And like the amount of times Matt's like, if I'm having a breakdown or panic or like feeling really like my go-to was always food. Like I'll always be like, oh, I feel funny with food today. I don't want to do that. Like I'll get really like, it's just my like coping mechanism from years of battling with eating disorders and body dysmorphia and stuff like that. Oh, like even this morning today, I was like, I'm teaching yoga tonight, but I'm scared I look fat. Like, and he's like, what? And I'm like, well, I've just had so many birthday treats and I'm scared I look. And he's like, you look small, shut up, you're fine. Like, he's brilliant at that. But some days, like, I'll be having, like, a bit of a meltdown, let's call it, and he'll be like, I think we need to meditate. And I'm literally like, there is no fucking way I'm meditating right now, mate. That is the last thing I need, which it probably is the first thing that I need, but I'm just like, I don't feel like meditation. No. And I'll like fight it until I'm like blue in the face. And he's just like, come on, sit with me. And he's very good at just like holding me. Like after I finished this intense yoga course the other day, he's like, you need to chill this week. And I'm like, I can't chill. Like, I need to be doing a book brain dump, or I need to be doing this, or I need to be doing, and he's like, well, you need to physically chill a bit. And I've said, like, this week I'm just like really mellowing out my exercise a bit. And we were just laying together like one afternoon. He's like, let's just sit and lay and chill for a bit. And I fully fell asleep. Like, I've never napped like in the day. And I just was like, my body was just like so burnt out and exhausted that I just needed to like let it kind of recoup. And like, he's so good at bringing that more feminine yin, kind of that, just that more soft energy, to where I can be quite prickly and like quite like, oh, I need to be constantly moving. Like, one of my really good friends, Jad, he's a phenomenal naturopath, he said to me one day, you're like a shark. And I was like, excuse me? And he goes, you would die if you stopped moving. And apparently sharks die if they stop moving. And and I was like, shit. And then, but now I can't take that as a compliment. I'm like, that's probably a good thing. But but yeah, Matt can get me to stop. And when I do stop, that's when like you can see I know I need it.
You sit into that. Yeah, it is really nice. And it's interesting as well in these kinds of relationships, or as we kind of look at modern relationships and how women have changed so dramatically, and therefore men, how we now have to redefine what our needs are, you know, because there's this kind of real old school idea of how things have to look from in a straight relationship anyway. And it's interesting to see now, even when I speak and do a lot of interviews with people on my show, and they'll be like, and the man is generally like this, and the woman is generally like this. And often I'm like, oh, I'm the man. Like, I often relate to the man side, and I feel like Ben sometimes the woman side when they're using examples. And I just, and not all the time, but just sometimes. And I think we just have to be really open-minded about the fact that we need both, but it's okay for them to both be playing out with each of us. And that also means us giving the permission for men to be in their feminine side too, and not be freaked out by that.
Totally.
Because I think a lot of chicks can be freaked out by that, which is to your own detriment, because you miss out on having the most epic kind of finding the most epic strength in a different way in a man.
Totally.
I reckon.
Totally. You've hit the nail on the head. 100%. And even in Ayurvedic Indian medicine, we're always a balance of three different doshas. Pitta, Kapha, and Vata. And you'd be quite Pitta dominant. I'd be quite Pitta dominant, mm-hmm. maybe both with a bit of Vata. And Pitta is like the firecracker, gets shit done, blah. Like, you know, Vata is really soft and like gets cold really easily. And, you know, like small humans can lean physically into Vata. And then Kapha is like super like zen and mellow. And you always want, they say in Indian medicine, you always want a balance of these three doshas. You don't want one that's, you know, overactive. And we've always got a dominant one. Yours would be Pitta, I'd say. You know, and it's quite cool to see, like, and Matt's would actually be Vata, because he's prone to anxiety and whatnot. But it's finding that Kapha, it's finding that other grounding element. It's quite cool.
It is very cool. And I think it's really nice to think about that with ourselves, but then also with potential partners, because often we really put pressure on our partner to be the thing, the one part of that we need. And then when they show up, say, in the other two, for example, using the Ayurvedic reference, it's almost like, well, that's not something that I need. So when you're even and balanced in your three, then you can almost, you can appreciate more when they're balanced and you're not kind of shying away or resisting parts of them that doesn't necessarily work for you, you know, which I think is where we can get stuck in relationships.
Totally.
Oh, mate, this has been an epic chat. I could talk to you for 3 days straight.
I know, I was just thinking that. I'm like, this has gone too fast.
But yes, it has gone. It's like 50 minutes already. Thank you very, very much, Lola Berry. It's always an absolute delight. I feel like I'm yarning with a girlfriend about the important stuff. Best of luck with your new podcast. I'll put all the links in the show notes.
I've got to get you on, Chica. We're going to do a podcast trade, a potty trade.
I would love that. I would love it. And, of course, tell us a quick bit about Lola Coffee. Like, people can order it online.
Yeah, so it's a nootropic coffee. Basically, it just means it's a brain coffee. It's sold out in 48 hours. So we're getting a new batch.
Whoa!
In about a month, a new batch will come out either end of October. My intuition is saying it'll be first week of November just because I saw what happened with the last batch. But basically, it's a really high-grade specialty coffee, freeze-dried with no nasties, so no anti-molding agents, no anti-caking agents, no chemicals at all. And it's at a really low extraction rate, so it tastes beautiful. It doesn't taste like pooey instant coffee. Not that all are pooey, but some are. And then we add medicinal wildcrafted lion's mane mushroom to it, which is
I was about to say a mushrooms. Yeah. What the fuck? I didn't know that part.
Yes, that's the nootropic part. That's the brain. They're like mushies right. That are specific for the brain and great for cognitive function. I call it like the limitless of the mushroom family. You know that limitless drug that Bradley Cooper took? it's like that of the mushroom family. So it's really healthy. It tastes great, smells awesome, doesn't impart any mushroom fungi flavor. So it took us quite a while to get the recipe bang on, but yeah, it's really clean. I own it with Matt and Matt's dear friend Rob, so it's just a really nice project that we've seen come to life. So yeah, it's out soon.
Oh, congratulations to you all. I reckon this podcast will drop around that time, so that'll perfect. Be perfect. All right, girl, it was lovely chatting to you, and we'll keep posted with all the things that you're doing. I'll put everything in show notes where you can find Lola, let her know you heard her here, and all of the info about how you can order that delicious coffee if you're interested. Okay, thanks, babe.
Thanks, Chica.
This has been another Bijou Podcast production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.